rest.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Georgia Show. I am Jake Rowe. He is Rusty Mansell. We are Dogs HQ, and Alabama, Georgia is finally a couple days away. The month-long bye week is over, Rusty, and I want to jump into something because we got a big announcement we're going to make here very soon. But before we do, Georgia, Alabama, the bye week, whatever. Just one quick thought. One quick thought.
I'm just ready to play. I mean, I think we've... Jake, I think you and I, this is going to be our show. This is going to be the cap of the week. And we've looked at this thing. We've talked at it from every angle. My God, I've watched the SEC championship game way too many times.
On air, off air.
On air. It's just, it's go time. And I think the bye week really just made this thing feel like it's been 6 weeks. I think Georgia fans are ready for this one. I think this is just one of those games, man. Everybody in college football is ready for this game. This is the headline game so far in college football. Might wind up being the headline game for the year, but this is certainly by far to me this is the headliner for the month of September. No questions about it.
First of all, I want to say I like Georgia in this game, and we're going to get to that a little bit later on. But I do want to say, and you hit on it, it's something I was going to hit on too. This is the longest stretch I've ever experienced between Georgia games since 2018, when you had Jake Fromm, Justin Fields, poor showing against LSU, bye week, Florida. Can Georgia beat Florida? Can Jake Fromm get off the schneid? Can he play well? He actually came out and played really well. Georgia wins that game, kind of running away with it there at the end. I mean, this has been kind of that kind of deal, you know, with what we experienced kind of going into the week, but just the longest time we've experienced as far as, you know, between the last game and the other one and everything that's going on, and all the talk has just been about injuries and been about this and that. And again, we'll get to all of it one more time before we get there. But one thing we are really excited to get to is we have a new partner at Dogs HQ, and it is Bulldog Snacks. And we've got our man Wes Howard from Bulldog Snacks and Scholar Snacks on to come on with us here. And Wes, we are glad, man, that you are here. We're glad to be partners with Bulldog Snacks, and we know that you're a Bulldog too, based on, obviously, if they can look at you right now, they can see it.
No, likewise, guys. Really appreciate the invite on the show, and we're so excited to launch this partnership. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we've got to introduce this snack line of products to all of our big Bulldog fans. And so, this was the first call I made when I joined the company a few weeks ago. And we're really excited.
And let me tell you, just presenting package wise, that's a no brainer for a Georgia fan. Like, that is absolutely no brainer. Let me tell you something. These cookies are dangerous. Like, it's a good thing it's hoodie season and sweater season, because those things are extremely good. I didn't know what to expect, but as a cookie expert, I was like, oh, damn.
I'm starting to find that we're running out of samples quickly.
I don't want everybody to look at the packaging. I mean, that's official stuff. I mean, that is official UGA logo stuff for the Bulldog bar and the cookies. I know you're going to explain more, but I just want people to really kind of see that and how well that looks. That's real deal stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wes, let's get into some of the backstory here. What inspired this, and what is Bulldog Snacks all about? Because we're not just talking about producing a product for people to enjoy here. There's some calls here as well. There's a great calls here.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to give everybody a quick background, this actually came about, the manufacturing company that we have in Atlanta. It used to be called H&F Bread Company. And so any of our listeners out there that are located in the Atlanta area, at least before COVID, if you went into a restaurant and you got an H&F bun, that came from us. So we were a true bakery, right? Well, COVID hits, we lose contracts for 600 restaurants that all of a sudden closed. And so the business had to pivot, and they pivoted to become a co-manufacturer. And essentially what that means is that we will manufacture products for other manufacturers. One of our larger clients is Simple Mills. So we make a lot of their snack line that is distributed into Costco. Well, so last fall, we were making a product, a line of our granola bars, and we had a client that tasted it, said it was really good. He said, I've got a son that plays college football. Have you guys ever thought about getting into the NIL business? And so we explored it. We saw that there are more and more products that are you know, getting into this space and finding ways that they can support, you know, the student athletes, the athletic departments, and the collectives as well. So we made our first call to the University of Georgia. And so flash forward to about January, you know, we met with Matt and Steven and Patrick and all the guys at the Classic City Collective. We met with the university, explained the concept, and we were off and running. So we started producing the Bulldog bars last spring. And then we have now added what Rusty said, the Bulldog cookies to the product line. And we'll continue to add more snacks to our portfolio as we go. But I think the biggest value that we're bringing is that a portion of the proceeds for every single sale go directly to support the Classic City Collective and student athletes. So that's where we are now. And what's interesting about this is, you know, we've had really very little, you know, marketing. Just it's been a soft opening to make sure that, you know, that we've got everything lined up from a production standpoint, and then the relationships with the universities and you know, and then building out marketing channels so that way we can generate awareness. But with very, very little impact, we've still managed to drive about 700,000 units. So we've been providing some meaningful impact to the collective and the student athletes so far. And this is only about to take off.
So let's talk about the product here for a little bit, because I think Rusty and I both agree. The bar is great. The cookies are phenomenal. I mean, this is really, really good stuff. And so it's not just like a, okay, we're putting this, we're slapping a logo on it. You're buying the logo. This is something that is top notch. And I know that that means a lot to you guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even when the, you know, when this opportunity came about, you know, candidly, I was a little skeptical. But when I went to the factory and I actually tasted the product, this is something I can get behind. And I can tell you very quickly, at least in our household, you know, we've managed to create a fourth meal, called Snack, and we've replaced a lot of the brands that we used to, you know, buy with Bulldog snacks. And so it's delicious. I can't keep it on the shelves. But that's really the thing is that, you know, for me personally, I think that the cause of really trying, you know, finding unique ways that we can support the student athletes and maintain, you know, some of the talent that we've become accustomed to as Georgia fans, while also providing something that benefits our fans, you know, at least from a consumption standpoint. That's what really interested me. And then, you know, the conversations that we've had with the schools and obviously with you guys, and we get, you know, feedback on our products. I'm just excited to introduce it to the masses, because I think everybody's going to really enjoy it.
Wes, to me, I look at that and that the old man in me, like you talking about tailgate decoration and tailgate,
yeah.
Like that is, and not just tailgating, like people have watch parties at their house and like those things right there would look so good out on that table at the tailgate and the quad getting ready for a game. You got those things, you got the official, you know, Georgia Bulldog G there. This is a no-brainer for something like that. But if you're watching at the house and you're just snacking around the house and you're going to have people over, man, this is an absolute no-brainer. Because like you said, I'm not just saying this. Buy these and try them out. Both of these are very good products. You could wrap those in anything, and it's going to be a product you still want to buy. But the fact that you put the Georgia logo on it, you make it official, and then the part of you're giving back to the NIL, giving back to supporting athletes at Georgia, absolute no-brainer for me.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more, Rusty. And so just, you know, in we talk about like how you can get these products. So right now we've got the bulldogsnacks.com website is up and running and live. So you can go to Bulldog Snacks, and that's B-U-L-L-D-O-G, bulldogsnacks.com. Mm-hmm. We also, you can find them in the bookstore on at campus. And you know, we're also going to be getting distribution into the stadiums, you know, so that way the fans can join during the games. But we're also going to be working on retailer distribution. So my vision is, you know, in the not so distant future, you'll be able to find these in your local grocery stores as well. So all of those conversations are happening, but that's the biggest thing I want to do is how can we educate our fans that this product exists? It's delicious. And it's a very easy, low lift way to help support our NIL efforts.
And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned there talking about getting into other stores and retailers is you got a shelf life here, and you guys are actually offering a fan pack And we've got something special set up for folks there too, because listen, I don't know if folks really understand, you guys are in with the collective. Like, this is a, you guys have a partnership going on here, and there's something for fans to get involved with here and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it's so true, Jake. And I'll tell you, Stephen and Matt and Patrick have been phenomenal partners throughout all of this. I was actually in Athens last week talking about, you know, some ideas, and one of the ways that they want to help support us is providing some incentives, you know, for everybody to try this out. You know, in addition to supporting the athletes, you know, we want to provide a little bit something extra, you know, for our rabid fan base to make it worth their while. So we're actually going to be running a sweepstakes for the month of October. And starting this weekend, you know, we will have a package, and Jake mentioned it's called the Fan Pack. So it'll be available on the website. It's a package which will give you a combination of both bars and cookies. But the cool thing about this is that for every purchase of the Fan Pack, you automatically qualify to enter its sweepstakes to attend a UGA football practice later on in the fall. So we'll be running that through October. We'll try to make sure that we've got content on your site so that way our fans know about it. You know, when they order the package, we'll send an email notification, and then we'll be notifying the winners in November. So really exciting, you know, partnership from the collective, you know, to help us out with that. And I think it's a fantastic incentive, because I've been to practice and I can tell you it's quite an experience.
Go get that Fan Pack. These things will last. Go get that Fan Pack. Enjoy them for the rest of this season. If you got a few left over, enjoy them in basketball season. These things are. I mean, this is a quality product that's going to be around. So all in here, Wes, the vision of Bulldog Snacks. I feel like folks want to understand, like, all right, where are you going? Because NIL is changing, obviously, and all of that stuff's going on. Where's Bulldog Snacks going?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I'm not sure how familiar everybody is with this, you know, with the federal legislation that's going on. It's still in limbo, but thanks to Governor Kemp, the state of Georgia got ahead of that and basically, like, I think it was a couple weeks ago, announced that the universities themselves can actually start funding like NIL compensation. But there's always going to be a spot and a position for the collective, because you figure if the salary is being paid by the school, and we're really talking about NFL Lite, there are still marketing opportunities that are above and beyond which the collective can help collaborate and facilitate for the athletes. The difference is the collectives themselves, as this federal law goes out, is they're going to have to start finding alternative sources of revenue than just going back to the same donors. And they're aware of this. So that's really where, you know, we think we can support them as we continue to gain distribution and we introduce this product to the masses. You know, my goal is really to provide a, you know, just recurring revenue to the collective. So it's something that they can depend on, which is going to help them manage their budgets, you know, for during the season, for recruiting season, you know, camp season, you know, whatever. But then looking at it on a more, on a larger scale, you know, the success that we've had with the University of Georgia, and of course, it's near and dear to my heart. You know, we are now having conversations with other schools who have seen this and who are extremely interested. You know, so I'm sure you guys will probably be seeing, you know, throughout that we'll have, you know, this school and this school and this school. But I think what excites me is the interest from the universities is there, and the collectives. There's no doubt about that. But I truly believe in the product. So we marriage a good product with a concept that everyone believes in. Now we just need our fans to lean in, contribute any way that they can to the collective, but also getting something back in return.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate Bulldog Snacks. And going over Bulldog Snacks, B-U-L-L-D-O-G, snacks.com. And listen, if you come over to Dogs HQ, or if you're here at the Dogs HQ YouTube channel on Saturday, you're going to see a lot of Bulldog Snacks. They are our game day sponsor. They're a game day partner. They're going to be hooking us up throughout game day, and we're going to be doing the same for them on social media and everything. Look for them. Look out. Links will be everywhere. And get over that website. Get your fan pack when they become available, so that you can maybe get out there and see Kirby, you know, talk nicely to these boys and put his arm around them and tell them how much he loves them.
Tell you what, yeah, Wes, you need to send a pack of cookies to Kirby. He's a snack head. He don't need to be stress eating during the season, but a man eat some cookies.
Done and done.
I'm worried if he gets a hold of those cookies, they'll calm him down, and then Georgia, then the boys won't get coached as hard. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. Right. Jim, thank you so much for the time today. We're so excited about this partnership, and let's let the big dog eat, right?
It's an easy – guys, this is an easy deal. This is not something that we're going to have to stand up here and twist your arm. I can assure you this is a great display product for your house. This is a great display product for your tailgate, your parties. The most important thing in consuming is the product worth it, and absolutely it passes the Rusty Mantzell test on all levels. So it's a no-brainer, man. Wes, we're excited, and thank you guys for being with us.
No, likewise. Thanks, Gilman. Go Dogs.
All right, Rusty, let's get into this matchup. And as we get into this matchup, let's bring on another third wheel here, and it's Palmer Toms. Rusty, I'm going to be open and honest with the masses here. You and I started, I think it was Sunday after Kentucky, talking about Georgia-Alabama. We have talked about Georgia-Alabama no fewer than 2-3 times a week since. We have not heard from Palmer Toms on Georgia-Alabama, and we felt like he might have something that these people want to hear regarding this thing. So, Palmer, all week long, round the team, practice, whatever, what do we have going on here? What's going on with the Georgia football program these days?
Yeah, you really wanted to hear me. That's why you called me earlier today to talk more Georgia-Alabama. And
hey, man, gotta go to the bullpen, baby.
No, I mean, I think Georgia – I like Georgia's chances to win this game. Jake called me and said, hey, why do you think – why do you feel so good about Georgia winning this game? And I think it's that – how often have we seen two poor performances in a row, especially against quality opponents under Kirby Smart? And you know, it'd be hard for them to play worse than they played against Kentucky. And I feel good about this team bouncing back. You know, yes, there are a lot of ifs and you do need some things to change, but I think that bye week and the timing of that is so crucial. And, you know, I think that there is a rise to the occasion element here. Georgia typically, you know, plays pretty well against Alabama. The players, you know, like Kirby told us yesterday, on Tuesday, said, hey, it's not a motivation thing this week. I don't have to do anything extra to get them up for this one. They're ready to go. And, you know, he said, typically it's we got to find a way to make sure that we don't overdo it in practice and we got to hold them back some. So I think this team's going to be ready and I'm excited to see it.
All good assessments there, and I think all of that makes a lot of sense. And you know, that's kind of what I've been going back and forth with this week is, all right, the DNA, kind of the DNA of Kirby Smart coach teams, and really I don't care. You can look at the 2019 team if you want to, the team that struggled the most offensively. That team got so much better as the season went on at figuring out how to win and figuring out how to – you know, make it happen. Like that team still got better, although the offense just struggled throughout the whole year. That's kind of what Georgia's all about. And I do think that they're going to bounce back from a game like this, but it does ultimately come down to what you're seeing on the screen right there. And it comes down to some specific matchups. And Rusty, we kind of went over some of these whenever we were talking, we did our crossover podcast with, and show with Bama Online, but you know, what is the biggest matchup you think in this game? Like, if Georgia wins this one, then its chances of winning this ball game just go through the roof.
I think, too. I think Georgia's offensive line has got to protect better in this game. I think they got to protect a better group. Now, the three guys, I think, Kentucky, obviously starts with Deion Walker, but they've got some guys there. I thought their safeties were really good, but Georgia got to protect better offensive line wise. I don't think that's any secret. They got to get Carson Beck some time. I think the sneaky matchup is the Georgia wide receivers versus the Alabama defensive backs, specifically their safeties and nickels. Because it's easy to say everybody can look at Georgia, and rightfully so. Everybody can look at Georgia and say Ladd McConkey's gone and Brock Bowers is gone and those guys and Amarius Mims, who was a first rounder, is gone. Those are offensive guys that were invaluable. But when I look at Alabama defensively, I look at Kool-Aid McKinstry is gone. I look at Terrion Arnold, who was an absolute lockdown corner. He is gone. You look at Caleb Downs, who's probably could have been the best freshman in America last year, maybe. He's at Ohio State now. So you lose three key pieces in that secondary. You have to go into the portal and bring guys in like Georgia did wide receiver wise and bring some guys in. So I don't think the Georgia wide receiver room is as good as the Georgia was last year. And I don't think the Alabama defensive back group is as good. I don't know how good the Alabama defensive group is. I don't think they're bad. I just don't know how good they are. And I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year. So for me, that matchup, can Georgia win that and create some explosive plays? Because, you know, Ryan Williams, you could flip the switch over there and Ryan Williams versus, you know, two or three five stars in the Georgia secondary, potentially you got to kind of hold your own there and not give up so much. But I think when you look at the Georgia wide receiver group and those tight ends specifically against these transfer Alabama DBs, Jake, I don't know, but we're going to find out because I think Georgia, I don't know that Georgia's going to have a lot of success running the football. I think they're going to have to take shots, and we're going to find out what this Alabama defensive backfield really is this weekend.
It's interesting you say that about running the football because I look at the Wisconsin and the USF games, and while USF's quarterback did a lot of damage against them, tailbacks in those three games averaged about 4.5 yards a carry. I do think Alabama is a little different scheme-wise that maybe allows Georgia to get in there, but I think that's the key. When you look at these games and all these games that Georgia's lost against Alabama, all but one loss came when they averaged under 4 yards per carry. They've lost one game where they averaged more than four, and that was that 2020 game in Tuscaloosa. And in that game, I feel like if you ever had a criticism or really wanted to get after Todd Monken about anything, it was probably the fact that they put the ball so heavily into Stetson's hands in that second half rather than running the ball. I think they only ran the ball like six times in the second half of that game, and there Alabama ran away with it. So, you know, that I feel like if Georgia can run the football effectively, it just opens everything up. And as I've told Palmer in our conversations, I don't see this as an offensive game, man. I don't see it as a big offensive game. I think this is going to be a little bit of a defensive struggle. I could be totally wrong on that. But that's my gut feeling on it is that kind of game. Palmer, what is your kind of silver bullet matchup for Georgia?
Yeah, the name that hasn't been mentioned is Jalen Milroe and Jalen Walker. Those two I don't know that that's a head-to-head matchup, but I think that the Georgia linebackers against Jalen Milroe and trying to do their best to defend him is such a key matchup there. You add in the defensive line and that defensive front seven, front six, if Georgia's throwing five DBs out there, is so big. I think that, you know, the potential to get Mykael Williams and Warren Brinson and Jordan Hall back, adding them to what they already have with Nazir Stackhouse, Kristen Miller, Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins is so big. You feel really good about that Georgia linebacker room, and you feel better about them than you did this time last year because Smile Munden's healthy. Jalen Walker is a better player. C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson are a year older, and they're better players too. And so to me, that's the matchup that I'm watching. Can Georgia do a good job of affecting Jalen Milroe? They did so at times last year, and that resulted in really positive things for them. They got off the field several times. Walker alone had two sacks. They got to him four times last year, and they pressured him a good bit. They didn't do it enough, and I think that I want to see Georgia be a little bit more aggressive in going after Milroe, taking away some of those opportunities. And look, I think you may give up some explosives. I think that that's going to happen whether you sit back and try to play this conservatively or you go after them and you be aggressive. I think that that's what you get when you play against a good explosive offense and players like Ryan Williams. I think that Georgia has to be an aggressor here and bring some pressure after Jalen Milroe. So that's the one I'm watching on that side of the ball. And I think, Russ, you're spot on with the Georgia receivers and the pass catchers. And Kirby talked about that, made an interesting comparison. And I dug into a little bit on my Tuesday takeaways, but it was one that stuck with me. He compared losing Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers to losing Devontae Wyatt and Jordan Davis on that defensive line. And we've seen the multi-year effort that it's been for UGA to try and replicate that impact on the defensive line. I'm not saying that UGA doesn't have capable playmakers on the defensive line or at receiver, but I don't know that you have a generational tight end. I feel very confident that you don't have a generational tight end like Brock Bowers, and I don't know that you have a playmaker like Ladd McConkey at receiver. They've got bodies. They've replaced them in terms of depth, in terms of numbers, but I don't know that they have the depth of pass catchers, and I think that's something that we've seen early in the season.
It's the Roquan Smith deal. Like every year, everybody says, hey, is this Roquan Smith? They're like, no, it's not Roquan Smith. It doesn't mean he's not a good player, but he's not Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith was a top 10 NFL draft pick for a reason. He was different. He was not a, you know, every 2-3 year guy. So with that, that's exactly what you're talking about. Doesn't mean you can't be good as a group, but as far as a generational, Brock Bowers is the best tight end in the last 25 years in college football, and I'll stand by that. And he's about to blow up in the NFL. He's already off to a fast start. He's not coming back. And Georgia got 2 national championships out of him and almost got a 3rd. So, you know, you enjoy those days when you have somebody like that and you appreciate it. It's not happening. Like, this dude's a unicorn. And still doesn't mean you can't have good players. But you have to sometimes look at the impact of something like that. And those Roquan Smith and Brock Bowers, those don't come around very often. So you got to enjoy it when they're there.
And while Carson got a chance to kind of thrive and survive without those guys last year, Bobo, everybody, the whole offense kind of sometimes you need some time to figure yourself out without that person. You know, you need to kind of get yourself going as an offense. And I think, you know, Georgia's probably going through some of that too. There's probably some – listen, it's never just one thing. It's never just like, you know, fix this. It's get a little better here, get a little better there, get a little better there. And then everything kind of comes together a lot quicker than you think it will.
You two guys will appreciate this. I was on a show earlier, and I compared it to this. It's like buying a new set of golf clubs. You got to find out which ones you hit the best. And you got to play a couple rounds. You can't just go out there and rip it game one and say, hey, I can kill this 5-iron. You have to go out there and kind of figure the bag out and figure out what you do well with that new bag and see where you can score with that thing. So I think Jordan's been through a couple of those. You got new equipment, basically. And this is what it's going to do. But I think Carson Beck in his second year with Mike Bobo, those two together, I think they kind of understand what you can and can't do. And a bye week is very important to say, okay, coach, let's reset. We go through 3 games. Yep. This is what I didn't like. This is what I think we can call here. And this is what Mike Bobo says, okay, this is what I'm seeing. And you got to make this throw. You know, this is the best we're going to get in this situation. So there's a lot of give and take on both of those guys. But I think this bye week was huge to kind of find out this new equipment and how you're going to score with it.
Kirby's exact wording was you replace and try to make up for it in every area you can. They're trying to find how they can make up for that. You're not going to replace it identically, but you got to make up for it somehow.
And that means, you know, if that means more Trevor Etienne, more Nate Frazier and creative ways to get them the ball, if that means, you know, Dominic Lovett kind of becoming more active in those 2 receiver packages instead of in the 3 where he's in the slot, you know, especially when you start talking about this, you know, situation with London Humphreys reportedly dealing with mono and going to miss the game, you know, Georgia's going to be a little bit thinner, I guess, there at that flanker spot where I know Lovett has played and so has Anthony Evans. So there's a lot of different ways. And the thing is, listen, you're a Georgia fan. You're doing like everybody else is. You're waiting to see if they got it figured out during the bye week. They got a little embarrassed by the way they played offensively. I'm positive of it against Kentucky. And how will they respond to that? And that's what we kind of got to learn. Palmer, you and I have something to respond to here. And it's just a couple bad weeks of Prize Picks, man. We have not been very good at this. We got Prize Picks, promo code dogs, and that gets you, what is that, deposit $4-5 and you get 50?
Yeah, play $5, you get $50, win or lose. And Jake, we've been doing a lot of losing. We've been doing a lot of losing. So here's my idea for this week. We're going with some low numbers. Once again, we got a Caleb Williams promo. They really love the Caleb Williams promo, so more on half a passing yard. Feel like he can get a passing yard. I'm going more on Carson Beck 8.5 rushing yards. I know he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury, but I do think that Carson is going to have to use his legs, and he has used his legs. So I like more on 8.5 rushing yards. And then we got a little bit of a demon play here. The demons and goblins. Jam Miller. Been a really good running back for Alabama this season. I'm going more on 0.5 rushing or receiving touchdowns. I think that he will find the end zone against Georgia. You know, Alabama's going to make some plays. Jam Miller might make some of those. Carson Beck going to make some for Georgia. And I certainly feel good about Caleb Williams getting half a passing yard.
I like those. I like those picks. If you don't know what Prize Picks is, listen, it is daily fantasy. It is awesome. You pick over, you pick under, you can make a conservative bet or a conservative play. You can make kind of a little bit more of not aggressive, risky play. Yeah, golly, I couldn't come up with the word. Make a little bit more of a risky play. There's so many different things you can do with Prize Picks, and it's awesome. We've won, we've lost lately, but it's a lot of fun to win. Hell, it's fun to lose. It's a great thing to do, and bet responsibly. Have a good time with it. All right, guys, here we go. Georgia will or won't win this game. Why? So, Rusty, two things real quick before we move on. Georgia will win this game. Why will Georgia won't win this game? Why?
Georgia will win this game if Carson Beck outplays Jalen Milroe. And I mean, the explosive plays hitting the – so you usually get about three of those, what I call key throws. You know, those a guy's open, you got to hit him. You know, you got to extend your – you got to extend what you talked about, extend. If you know it's third and seven and Carson Beck runs for eight and it keeps the drive going, little plays like that. I think Carson Beck is I think he's tired of hearing what's going on around him. And I know he can say that you tune all that out, but he's human. You know what I mean? He came back and he was considered a Heisman favorite, and nobody's talking about him in the Heisman. And he's kind of had a little bit of a slow start going on, but I think this guy's wired to compete, you know. And you look at the games, and you know, he only lost one game last year. You know, he had some really good games. Ole Miss game, he had the Auburn game, second half came alive. Tennessee, you know, those games. I think this guy can kind of come back and go, don't forget about me. Don't write me off completely. I'm going to go on the road and win one. I'm going to make enough plays and outplay Jalen Milroe for Georgia to win this game.
All right. Georgia won't. What would be Georgia's downfall if you had to pick it right now?
If they can't tackle Jalen Milroe. And I know, you know, that didn't really hurt him as much last year. I think he made two or three throws that were absolutely perfect, and that's really that. But he also had a couple – I think his presence – put Georgia in a situation what they don't do usually defensively. And that's the two spy type deal they did. And it kind of puts everybody in the back end and a little more stress when you do things like that. So you got to contain him. You got to keep his kind of manufactured explosive plays to a limit, and you got to get to him. But listen, I can tell you right now from people all over that building, the message this week, the message last week, the message during the offseason is when we play Alabama, you got to get your hands on Jalen Milroe and you got to get him to the ground. He cannot break tackles and throw a 5-yard check down that ends up being, you know, 20 yards later because you could have got him in the backfield. When you got opportunities to get this guy to the ground and you got to keep him in the pocket and you got to get him to the ground, if they can't do that, they're in for a long night.
Yeah, that is the biggest key to me in this game defensively is, like you said, not – you've got to get him on the ground when you've got chance for sacks. And the thing is you know you're not. And that's what makes him dangerous. Like, you know he's going to get away from you once or twice. You know you're not going to – just the nature of the way he plays the quarterback position, there's going to be some opportunities there. You have to hope that he's going to miss those chances, or you have to hope that – I thought Kirby Smart made a wonderful point, and it's sometimes – the worst thing you can do is to cover all of his receivers, because if you've got a man-to-man coverage and you've got them locked down, moving with their backs to the ball, and next thing you know, number four is running up your back, you know, and that's just the way it is. He said, and then sometimes the best thing you can do, you know, if you got him in a third situation, you got him spied and get everybody covered, then, you know, and start to force him, then yeah, but it's an either-or proposition. That's what makes mobile quarterbacks tough is that margin for error is there, and that's definitely there. I think that is a number one, the thing that could get Georgia beat is Jalen Milroe just kind of going off. The thing I think that wins the game for Georgia and the thing I think that allows them to you know, have the best chance of winning is running the football. is getting that run game going and getting that offensive line off, and it's going to help them in pass protection. The ripple effect is just unbelievable. And I do think Georgia can run the ball. I think Georgia will run the ball against Alabama. It's a matter – lately, it's been a matter of sustaining it as opposed to doing it early and then getting shut down for a longer period of time. They need to be able to do it and sustain it. And I like their chances. I think this is a little bit of a different setup. Palmer, what's your will? What's your want?
Yeah, I really liked what Rusty went with there. And I think Georgia will win this game if Carson Beck lets it rip. I think he's been a little bit timid so far. And specifically, I want to see him let it rip to Colby Young and Dylan Bell. I think those two receivers need to get going for Georgia to play its best brand of football. Especially with London Humphreys probably being out for this game. I think that those two are guys that really, really, really need to emerge. And we talked about, you know, losing Brock Bowers and losing that presence across the middle. Both those guys are big bodied players. And I think that those two need to play. So Carson Beck needs to let it rip and let it rip to Dylan Bell and Colby Young. Georgia won't win this game if they give up too many explosives. And that sounds really simple. And I think when you look at this Alabama offense and the way that they've found the end zone, especially through the air, Ryan Williams has four touchdowns this year. All four of them have been from 30 plus yards out. That you cannot give up those big plays. They are momentum plays. They get, you know, immediately Alabama's taken over and, you know, scoring and then going out on defense with a loud, energized crowd. You can't give up those big explosives because it just swings momentum that much more, especially when you're on the road.
Very good point, man. Very good point. One place you will see some big plays, and you'll see them this Friday night, is NFHSnetwork.com. I am an NFHS Network junkie at this point. I clip stuff out. I share it with the guys. I show them. It's awesome. You see all the Georgia commits. Filter it by state. Filter it by sport. Listen, maybe you don't really like watching high school football, and you've got a niece that plays volleyball in Alabama. Check her out, man. She's probably on NFHS Network. It is the biggest network of high school sports out there, and they do a phenomenal job with it. I've been able to watch several games this year. I've been able to go back and watch several games on demand. And with the promo code GoDogs, GoDogs 24, is that right, Palmer? Or is it 25?
25.
I do this to you every time. GoDog, with the promo code GoDogs25, you can save 25% off your first month and give it a shot. And you're going to want this in October and in November when you're really jonesing for football and we're really in the flow of it and you really want to get Friday nights rocking. NFHS is the place to do that. Again, promo code GoDogs25 for 25% off of your first month of NFHS Network. All right, guys, I don't know if we want to give score predictions or not, but I'm going to go ahead and throw mine out there because sometimes I hate waiting to last. It makes me feel like I'm trying to be special. I like Georgia in this game. I've said it all week, and I don't know why I like Georgia. I hadn't really even been able to put my finger on it. I think the matchup is super even. I think Alabama's got some advantages it can exploit. I think Georgia's got some advantages it can exploit. We haven't talked about the turnover battle, and there's really no sense in talking about the turnover battle because we all know it. Win it, you'll probably win the game. Lose it, you'll probably lose the game. Georgia needs to find a way to come out on top of that. But I think if Georgia comes out even the turnover margin, I see kind of a low-scoring game. And I'll go ahead and give a prediction. I like Georgia 21-18.
You do like it,
though. 18 is an interesting one.
Yeah.
You're giving a field goals there.
Maybe a 2-point conversion. You know, maybe a couple touchdowns, a 2-point. We'll see how the game flow goes out. But I like Georgia 21-18. I like a low scoring game. Listen, it's the perfect scenario for us, right? Get a low scoring game. They still want to fire Mike Bobo, and we get all of that love and discussion and camaraderie around Dogs HQ. Let's do it.
I'll go with mine, and it's going to be one that they are not wanting to fire Mike Bobo. I've got 31-24. It's the same score that I went with on Monday, and it's kind of where I've always thought this week. Georgia wins this one 31-24. I think that you got to score in this. I think that Alabama's talented enough on offense. If we are coming out of, if we are coming out of this game and Georgia's defense has still not given up a touchdown, Georgia is winning this football game. Georgia is giving up a touchdown in this game, in my opinion, though. I think that they give up a couple because you've got some talented players on that opposite side. Jam Miller, Jam Miller, Ryan Williams, Jalen Milroe. I think that they are very talented, but I think that Georgia has as much talent. And like I said, off the bat, I think they come out and they play one of their best games, their best game of the year. And, you know, one of the best games we've seen in quite some time. So I like Georgia 31-24.
Give my final prediction on Dogs HQ on Friday.
How do you see the game going? Who are you leaning?
I'm leaning to Georgia. I picked Georgia all year, all summer, but I'm going to process a little bit more information before I start talking about predictions on scores. So I am going to pick Georgia unless something crazy happens. I've picked them all off season. I did my season predictions. The only loss I have Georgia predicted to lose was Texas in the regular season. And I'm going to predict Georgia, but I'm going to process some information as far as where I think this thing is going to go, high scoring or low scoring. I do like that kind of thought process, Jake, that this thing might not be what people – I was looking at that earlier. So you look at Georgia, 2018 scored 23, Natty lost, scored 20, 24, lost, scored 24, lost, scored 24, lost, scored 33 and one. So you kind of feel like that 30-point mark is going to be the one to get to based off history to win this game. But we'll see how this game plays out. It's going to be rocking and rolling. That place is going to be crazy. It's going to be loud. Palmer and I were at the Buttsmere this week, and I walked up from the parking deck, and I'm telling you, they were blasting noise into that practice. You couldn't even hear yourself think. So they certainly were anticipating a loud crowd, but it's funny because you would hear the fake crowd being pumped in, and then it would go quiet like it would when a play was happening. And then you hear Kirby scream, spot the ball. And as soon as they spot the ball, man, you hear the crowd ramp back up, you know, and you're like, can't hear yourself think, man. It's crazy how they were doing that preparing, but that's something they've always done, I'm sure.
That's a hell of a detail right there, just kind of a detail-oriented way to go about it. Another way to look at that score thing you just mentioned, Rusty, is when you hold them to under 20, you also win all of those too. Yeah. So, and listen, it's both of them are hard to do. It's hard to score over 30. It's hard to hold the team under 20. That's why they play this. That's why it's entertaining. That's why these are big games. All right, Rusty's got no score prediction for you. He's got a floppy disk full of data he's going to go through here in just a little bit. He's about to pop it in, that IBM 1997, Windows 95 still on it, and check it out. But
I'll up, baby.
The talking's over, guys. The talking's over. Next time we're with you, we'll know what happened between Georgia and Alabama. We will see you Saturday night, and we will be sponsored by our new partners over at Bulldog Snacks. Y'all go check them out too, and take care.